I don't know everything. Now, I don't even pretend to know everything. But I know a few things. And I do know that optimists live longer and healthier and just better lives. So let's start together, you and I, with your optimist creed. Are you ready? Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing, and yes, I do mean nothing, can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk about health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet. It's not that people don't care about your problems, but they've got problems of their own. They don't want to hear about it. Come together and become better. Talk about health, happiness, and prosperity. Promise yourself to make all your friends and family feel like there's something in them. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything and in your own life, make your own optimism come true for you. Promise yourself to look only at the best, to work only for the best, and to expect in your life only the best. And I'll put a pin in this and just say, you're going to have other than best in life, but you want to expect better and best. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're aiming for. It isn't that life doesn't come at you and trials and tribulations. Of course, happens to everybody, but you're not looking for it. You're looking for the best, working for the best, and expecting only the best. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own. Little secret here. I've been repeating this creed on air for years, maybe 10 years, and never once do I say that line without smiling. And I do not know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm going to say it again. Be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own. I love that line, and I cannot help but smile when I read it. Promise yourself to be too big. This is big now. Too big for worry. Too noble for anger. Promise yourself to be too strong for fear and too happy to permit the presence of trouble in your life because you, and yes, my friend, I do mean you, are an optimist. Welcome aboard. I've been running from my past, but my future's just too fast. He don't stop for no one, that's no lie. So dear Lord, won't you please give me wisdom, grant me peace. Cause I just want to live before I live before I die. Live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Oh, say, can you see how the dawn's early light was so proudly we hailed? Twilight's gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Yeah! What a beautiful rendition of your anthem. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. I'm here at the corner of West Hill and the Sterling Highway, in the nerve center of Homer, Alaska, where all things are possible and prosperous. It's Story Real Estate Broadcasting, all the way back to the mothership, high top Diamond Ridge. How is that possible? You're thinking to yourself right now, Chris, I don't believe you. I don't think it is possible. But it's true. It's true. And it's because of Horizon Wireless. 226-3130. Horizon Wireless, 907-226-3130. For over 13 years, coming up on 14 years, up and down the peninsula. Call today to find out if they're in your hood. 907-226-3130. They're that good. Trust me. One of the strongest forces in human personality is the drive to speak clearly, enunciate. Let me just get a little bit of Captain's coffee. Hold on. Oh, that's better. All right. We go back to the quote. One of the strongest forces in the human personality is the drive to preserve the integrity of your own identity. That's a quote from Tony Robbins. Preserving your own identity. So who are you? It's a pretty powerful question. What is your identity? Now, part of that's going to be determined, obviously, by your background, your upbringing, you know, where you're from. But here's the good news for you. You can right now become who you want to be. Right now. Doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter how impoverished or wealthy, because yes, wealthy can be a hindrance. Wealth can actually inhibit one's personal growth and development and create an identity that you're not happy with. If it was unearned and handed to you, that can be a terrible burden. Everybody's raising it. Yeah, give me that burden. Give me that unearned wealth right over here. But who do you want to become? There's a simple can't fail formula, and it goes like this. Be, do, have. It's just that simple. Be right now who it is you wish to become. That means act. That means to be and act as if, followed by doing, which is the actual action. So not just acting as if, that's the being. Recognize who you want to be, become and emulate that person, that identity right now. Then do what that person would do. And you shall have what you want. You shall become, you will become who you want to become if you will be and own that identity in your mind. You have to believe it. Then do the work and then you'll receive it and you'll become who it is you want to become. I've used this example quite a bit in the past about having put onto my website years ago, probably 15, maybe even 17 years ago, I don't remember, author. It's like, you're not an author. And I literally heard that. And like, who goes out of their way to say that to somebody? Like, you know, who does it? Well, people did. So you're not an author. What does it mean, author? What have you written? What have you published? I said, I'm working on it. I'm becoming. But to be an author, I had to own the identity, then do the work, actually sit in front of the keyboard and type or write, and then become. And now I have 3 books in print, another on the way, 2 more in process. And I'm just here to tell you, it is never too late. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story, reminding you, you in fact were born on purpose. Our mortgage moment's coming up in just a little bit with Stephen Gist of Global Credit Union. That's going to be a little while before I get that straight. I'm going to ask Stephen, what's up? Give me the gist on what's going on. Why is Alaska USA now Global Credit Union? He's not a spokesperson for them, but I'm going to ask him anyway. He is a mortgage lender. We're going to be talking about interest rates. I want to get his take on the Fannie Freddie rule on higher credit folk supporting lower credit folk. Also new construction and much, much more. By the way, did you see the article about how one Anchorage legislator is trying to prohibit you from owning, hear this, owning more than one vacation rental? Trying to restrict your rights of ownership of real property. Of course, I'll be addressing that when we return to the top of the world. Stick around. I got a big house, but my heart is ugly. Can't take it with you, and your whip ain't gonna miss you. So wipe off that window and see the bigger picture now. I don't wanna be 85. Have you ever heard of ADD, adult set, onset ADD? Well, I'll bet you've never heard of this ADD. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the program. But right now, you're listening to On Top of the World. I'm Chris Story in conversation with Stephen Gist and our mortgage moment. Stephen, I've been saying for a long, long time, Alaska USA Mortgage Company, and I have to change it now to Global Credit Union. What's up with that? Did you rename it? Was this your idea?
Man, nobody asked me, and I'm in the same boat. I'm having to try to get used to saying that as well. I still say Alaska USA most of the time.
Right. So, okay, so let's just differentiate for folk. We'll get into the interest rates. I want to talk about the Fannie Freddie rules on credit scoring, new construction, and all that. But first off, the credit union that we've known and loved for a long, long time, Alaska USA Federal Credit Union, is not Alaska USA Mortgage Company. There have always been a bifurcation between the two. They're two separate companies under one umbrella, yes?
That's correct.
Okay, now that new umbrella is called Global Credit Union. Why?
Did you ask why?
Yes, I did. And I understand, you're not a spokesperson for the entire company, but I'm just curious, just in layman's terms, in a sentence or two, why the name change? A lot of people I know aren't thrilled about it, and I know you guys know that, but why was it changed?
Yeah, it's a great question, and actually, those of us who work at the credit union, they let us know about 24 hours before they let the general public know. So it's even for us who work there, it's something that we're
all right.
Still learning about
something
for us. Yeah. And, I guess I have known for a while, I've been with Credit Union for 8 years, that, outside of Alaska, there are some issues isn't the right word, but it just doesn't have the same brand recognition outside of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, 60% of our credit union members are actually outside of Alaska.
Wow, I did not know that.
So, yeah, and it's just kind of the nature of the way that the credit union evolved. We began on a military base to serve those in active duty. And, of course, military folks, that's their life a lot of times. They move around a lot.
Right,
so a lot
that
of
makes
those
sense.
Folks who were the original members, they moved away. Some of them actually moved back in retirement. We have a per capita, we have the highest number of veterans here in the state, but a lot of folks, still live outside of their places. So you have that, and then you have the snowbird community. And I don't know if many people know, but we have a huge presence in Arizona, have for quite a few years, and even have some of our business offices there in Arizona. But kind of the nature of Alaska, snowbirds,
mm-hmm.
Alaska snowbirds, a lot of them go to Arizona, some go to Washington. We have a big presence in Washington. So I think just the nature of Alaskans and the military and snowbirding and different things like that, and just general movement in and out of Alaska. And I was surprised to learn this too, that largest population of members is actually outside of Alaska.
Interesting. It's a little bit like when the dandelions go to seed and blow into your neighbor's yard. It sounds like the members have blown around the country.
Yeah.
And yeah. Let's just cut to the chase. People can expect from Stephen Gist the same. I mean, are you operating under the new rules, or is it basically everything we knew and loved about Stephen Gist and Alaska USA Mortgage Company is now found at Global Credit Union? Same phone number for you, same website, all that?
And apart from the awkwardness that even I have of saying the name, everything else is exactly the same.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get used to it. We'll get used to it. But I think, Stephen, I have to tell you, and I'm just telling you this as a longtime friend and a longtime friend of Alaska USA, that I was hearing from people conspiratorial concerns, it's a global alliance taken over by the global elites and all that. So it probably couldn't have come at a worse time. However, it is what it is. It's out of your control. As long as you're telling me that we get the same service from Stephen Gist and the same products and backroom support and underwriting, because you guys have a pretty slick program, and I'm glad to see that that's all still in place. Have you been hearing from people, though, like saying, hey, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I'll just be real frank and honest on the program here. I am not happy about the name either. It's not a great name. You know, for a credit union, you know, a credit union is something that's local, serving local folks. You know, the word global, global is kind of the antithesis,
right.
You know, of that, you know. So, and all I can think of, and here's what I'll say, you know, I know Jeff Lundfeld, the CEO, I would have concerns about it if, you know, he came from some, you know, fancy, you know, business school and didn't really have a relationship with Alaska USA and came in and made these changes. But, you know, Jeff, he had his first account with Alaska USA when he was 15, and he worked his way up from being a teller to being the CEO. So he, you know, has a love for the credit union, has a love for Alaska. And I just kind of, at some point, you know, being an employee of Alaska USA, just have to trust that, you know, he had a good reason for making that decision. And I think they were working on this for 4 years. And so for a guy like Jeff, with the relationship he has with the credit union to make this decision, he did not make it lightly. Without a lot of input, a lot of discernment. So part of me, I'm just saying, I've got to trust that, you know, he's doing the right thing for the credit union. So, but personally, I think it's not a great name.
Well, thank you for your transparency, Stephen. I think that's a hallmark of what we've come to grow and love about you is your honesty and transparency. And I expect that's going to continue on. You can still find Stephen at StephenGist.com or call 226-8815. So all this conversation about name change, that's remained the same, 226-8815 or StephenGist.com. Moving on, interest rates. Where are we at today with, let's say you've got moderate to good credit and you've got a down payment. What are you going to be paying in interest?
Yeah, so the 30-year range would be anywhere from 6.75 to 6.80% APR, and you can, you know, pay points and buy that down reasonably to 6.25% with a 6.401 APR. So that's a 30-year. The 15-year, that range would be 6.125% with an APR of 6.196 to 5.5% with an APR of 5.746.
We've been following the story of Fannie and Freddie, the new rule taking effect May 1. I guess it had been forestalled for a little while. Now it's taken effect as of May 1. My understanding, Stephen, is if you've got a, and correct me where I'm wrong, on the 680 score or higher, you would have received a certain benefit in an interest rate as a reward for being a good credit risk. Some of that, 50% of that benefit you would have received is actually going to the bottom portion of those with lesser credit. Is this still, I mean, has there been any major pushback and kind of halting that program, or is that in effect now? You got to live with it.
Well, you know, actually it's really interesting, you know, and I encourage anyone that wants to find out more about it. There's those tables out there and if anyone out there is operating heavy equipment at this point, I might get a little in the weeds. And you may get a little drowsy, so you might want to stop what you're doing.
Fair warning.
Side of the road. I wouldn't want to cause any accidents or anything. But yeah, so there's always been these pricing adjustments, you know, based on your credit score. And And actually, one of the things that they did, which I was always curious about this, is, you know, they'd start at like 740 and above. You know, and credit scores can go all the way up into the 800s. So 740 and above would kind of get the best interest rate. And then once you drop down from there, it was 20-point segments, and the interest rate would get a little bit worse with each segment. And so one of the things that they did was they actually created two more segments. So they started at, instead of 740, they started at 780, and then they created facilities from 780 to 760. Sorry about that. 780 to 760, and then 760 to 740. So I always thought that was interesting. I was like, why weren't there, you know, because the 740 credit score is not the same as the 780 credit score or 800 credit score. So one of the things that I thought that was interesting is they actually created some differentiation there. And so I thought that was actually probably a good thing that rewards people with, you know, an 800 credit score. And then as you go down, then the interest rate hit is less. So it's a little bit more for folks from 740 to that 780 range, and it's a little bit less for the folks on the lower end there.
And you're talking about the benefit or the hit that they're taking as of May 1?
Yeah, the hit that they're taking. So anyone from like 740 to 780 is taking more of a hit than they did before.
Mm-hmm.
And then the folks, you know, lower down on the table are taking a little less of a hit. So I think there's some information out there. So, well, you know, I should be responsible that I can get a better interest rate. So, like, it's absolutely not the case. Like, folks with lower credit are still getting hit, you know, way harder than folks with good credit. So I thought that was interesting. And then, the narrative around it that says, you know, it's rewarding folks who've been irresponsible with their credit. But, boy, you know, the folks – I know it's lower credit scores, you know, it's not a majority of them. It's because they're irresponsible. And I think a lot of this folks kind of anger and indignation about this is maybe a little, maybe needs to be targeted elsewhere. And maybe like with how credit reporting works and different things like that, because there's a lot of people that are super responsible and don't have great credit. And it's not because they're irresponsible, you know.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, for example, there are some medical issues going on, you know, where there are some places where people become their credit's been pinged or dinged because of some, you know, incredibly expensive medical things and some stuff out of your control. I think ultimately it's this. If you're going to be contacting Stephen Gist at Global Credit Union, I mean, I'm interested in how this is impacting what you're doing. At the same time, I'm directing my attention towards two things. One, helping people understand the credit game so they can be up in that 750, 770, yeah, 800 tier, just no matter what, because it impacts everything. I was talking to my friend Stephanie, who owns an insurance company, the other day, and she said, absolutely, your credit impacts how we price and how the companies model your insurance premiums.
Yeah.
So it impacts everything. So I'm taking the approach of, look, I'm glad this is on the front page because, one, now is the time to start talking about how you can improve your credit and play the game better. And two, it's a good time to remind yourself you have a voice. Use it, not at your mortgage people. It's not your fault. Use your voice directed towards your politicians, towards your representatives in DC and so forth, and tell them what you think about this and start talking to your neighbors and friends about your own philosophy. But the reality is you and I are going to have to just deal with this whether we like it or not. So, okay, at least you understand it.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're exactly right, Chris. I think one of the best things that we can do out there is just more financial education.
Yeah, agreed.
For, you know, to get a better credit score, and that would absolutely help, I think, help, you know, everyone. And one thing I will say is that, you know, we have portfolio loans that we do that I've talked about in the past where, you know, they're loans that we keep as a credit union, and a lot of this is a result of lots of lenders selling to Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for us, for the loans that we keep, so we didn't change our pricing, our interest rate pricing structure.
Okay.
So that didn't impact any of the loans that we do that we keep in-house, and then Alaska Housing Finance, I mean, you know, they for, you know, for years have been offering, you know, great programs and great interest rates, you know, as long as your credit score is above, you know, 620, mm-hmm. and not all programs are going to be available to everyone equally, you know, with lower credit scores and those with higher credit scores. But for a lot of people, you're going to get a great interest rate through Alaska Housing Finance. So it's not, so Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, they dominate a lot of the market, but yeah. There's still some great alternatives.
I love it. Stephen, you've just swerved unknowingly into a topic I'm going to be talking about a little bit later called buy local. And now we can add to that list loans. You can get your loans local, and you might even be able to avoid this whole new rigmarole going on with Fannie and Freddie. Well, Stephen Gist, I got to run, but a real quick question. New construction, you know, at a glance here on the southern tip of the peninsula, I'd say, man, we've never seen so much new construction. However, the other metrics don't bear that out. There's about something like almost 50% fewer electric installs this year compared to this time last year. What are you seeing from a new construction perspective in the mortgage world?
You know, there's still quite a bit of new construction going on. You know, from where I sit in my office, I'm seeing less than I did last year, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, it's still happening and it's still plugging mm-hmm. along.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Stephen Gist at all. I just about said it again. Global Credit Union, 226-8815, or online, StephenGist.com. That's GIST.com. Thank you, Stephen.
You bet. Thank you, Chris.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. When we come back, we'll explore this idea that an Anchorage lawmaker has about you only owning one vacation rental. Plus, we've got in other news and a brand new ADD you've never heard of when we return to the top of the world. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb, the Eagle, high atop Diamond Ridge at the mothership of KPAN and KGTL. Thank you for being here. My website is ilovehomeralaska.com. ilovehomeralaska.com/podcasts is where this episode will live forevermore. If you want to send it to a friend or you've missed any portion of it or any of the over 730 episodes available at ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast or wherever you get podcasts. I found one more reason I'll not be traveling to India this year. On a recent Air India flight, a woman was stung by a scorpion en route from Nagpur to Mumbai. No, thank you. Although my daughter Zoe and Ashley, both of them, have been to India. Zoe's been there two times. Ashley's been there once. When Zoe got to Mumbai, I think she was 19 or 20. She got to Mumbai, city of what, 18 billion people. Not really, but it felt like it. While she was gone, it felt like it. And didn't know a single soul and was walking through... I mean, I think literally Mumbai is like 5 million, maybe more. Unbelievable. But I'm happy to report she never got stung by a scorpion on Air India or otherwise. So what do I know? Maybe I'm missing out. It looks like a beautiful culture. In fact, Tiffany and I were talking about when I found this article this morning. I was sharing it with her and I was telling her about Slumdog Millionaire, one of my favorite movies. But it was hard to watch. Very emotional. It stays with you. And so I was inviting Tiffany to watch it again with me. She said, I don't know that I want to. It's incredibly emotional, but really, I felt like just a worthy watch out of Bollywood. So Tim Ferriss has coined a brand new, well, it's from his book, The 4-Hour Workweek. So it's actually not brand new, but I didn't remember it until I just looked this morning. I was just leafing through. Did that ever happen to you where you just randomly pick a book off the shelf and open to something really interesting and curious? And books I've read before, I particularly like that because it just comes right back. It kind of rushes back to you. And this is called adult onset ADD, adventure deficit disorder. Do you suffer from adventure deficit disorder in your life? So here's how his idea works. Again, Tim Ferriss, he says, imagine when you're five, you tell your friends and family you want to be an astronaut. Everybody applauds you, says, this is wonderful. Now, fast forward when you're 25, maybe 35 or 45, and you tell people you want to be an astronaut, and they're like, yeah, these are your friends. They're going to take you to a safe, padded place. But maybe you don't want to be an astronaut, although if you make enough money, you can get on board Virgin Galactic or maybe Elon Musk's or Amazon's spaceships, maybe. But forget astronauts for a minute and just allow yourself to think about an adventure you want. Something you want to do, a place you want to go. I just bumped into a guy the other day who I hadn't seen for a while, and it reminded me that he had gone on a coast-to-coast bicycle trip. Coast-to-coast, rode a bicycle by himself from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean for no reason, just an adventure. So maybe that's more ambitious than you want to do. It's more ambitious than I want to do. I'll guarantee you that. But for me, I'll just give you my example. So an adventure I started at 44 was writing novels, writing books, writing parables. That followed an adventure I started at 34, being here on the air with you. And that followed an adventure being 29 and becoming a realtor after having been in the adventure of a professional potter for 10 years. So I look at all these things that I do as adventures that I can't wait to get up and get started on. I love them. I love those adventures, but they're maybe completely and wholly different adventures than you want in your life. Just add some adventure. Don't hesitate. Don't hold yourself back. Remember what Og Mandino said, treat everybody as though they'll be gone at midnight. How about you? What if the person you could have been will be gone at midnight because you were afraid to do something? I'm not suggesting you go jump out of a plane tomorrow if you don't know what you're doing, but there's something you might be holding yourself back from, and holding yourself back from a new adventure for no reason.
You know a dream is like a river, ever changing as it flows, and the dreamer's just a vessel that must follow where it goes, trying to learn from what's behind you, and never knowing what's in store makes each day a constant battle just to stay between the shore. But I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry, like a bird upon the wind. These waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Let's dig into this. There's an article out, and you've no doubt heard about it, and I'm just going to read from it briefly. I got quite a few people brought this to my attention just yesterday. I'm embarrassed to say that I wasn't following this until yesterday, but I have good news for you, so stand by. I shouldn't be so embarrassed. Looks like the article just came out yesterday. Here's the headline out of Alaska Public Media. People could only own one short-term rental unit in Alaska under a new house bill. I don't know who wrote this. Lex Tranian. Anyway, here's what it says. People who could only one unit, already said that. The bill, sponsored by Anchorage Democrat. What? That's odd. They didn't make a note of that. Let's look into that. Anchorage Democrat Representative Andrew Gray aims to boost available housing in Alaska by curtailing the growth in short-term rentals like Airbnbs. Here's a quote from Representative Gray. If we want to increase the supply of available housing as quickly as possible, I just don't think there's any faster way than this. Said Representative Gray. The number of short-term rentals, the article goes on, has skyrocketed in Alaska in recent years. In Anchorage, between 2019 and 2022, the number of units grew more than 70% to 2,100, according to AirDNA. AirDNA, that must be a Watch Grow. It is. It's an independent group that tracks short-term rental markets. I had heard just in Homer area, which includes, I think, Anchor Point out to McNeil, there's 572 units. Now, that was said to me. I did not fact check it, but somebody that I think is in a bit of authority told me that. But here's my question for you, and I'd love for you to weigh in on this. So our Alaskan Mindbender presented by AJ's Old Town Steakhouse in Old Town Homer. You deserve a night out on the town. Make it AJ's Old Town Steakhouse, 235-9949 to make a reservation, or ajsteakhouse.com. Here's my question for you. Do you agree with Representative Gray? Obviously, I don't. But do you agree with Representative Gray? This is a safe space. Share your opinion at 907-299-7653. Is he right or wrong? Quote, if we want to increase the supply of available housing as quickly as possible, I don't think there's any faster way than this. And again, the bill, if passed, would limit your ability to own more than one short-term rental. So think about that. What do you think? Is he right? Is that the only way? Is that the fastest way to grow availability of housing? 299-7653. Text your name and answer right now. We'll come back to that and I'll share my opinion. Oh, and the good news is, do you want the good news first? Yeah, I'll just give you the good news because it's irrespective of the question I'm asking. The good news I have to share shouldn't impact whether or not, you know, how you answer this question. It certainly will not impact whether or not you win. Our lobbyist in Juneau, talked to her yesterday. Ain't no way this is going anywhere. This is DOA. Dead. So this bill ain't going anywhere. So, all right, it's dead. But as we see, sometimes these things, they're sort of like The Walking Dead. You think it's dead, but then it comes back. Or The Last of Us. You think you've nailed this thing, and then it just regurgitates and then comes back to life. So I'm guessing this is not the end of this question, but it's the end of the bill. Our lobbyist again said this is absolutely DOA. So it's not that we should, you know, just forget about it. I think we ought to be talking about it, and I think we ought to be facing the realities of what is the real answer. Doctor, there's a patient online, and he says he's invisible. Doctor says, well, tell him I can't see him right now. One of my favorite jokes. Thank you for being here. I want to sweeten the pot on our Mindbender. I'm going to give you a coin, not this year's coin, but last year's coin. Oh, heck. I'm feeling generous. Both last year's and this year's challenge coin from here on top of the world. By the way, last year's challenge coin, I believe I'm down to my last five. I'm going to give you one of those along with this year's coin designed by Dan Coe. What do you think? Is eliminating people's rights to owning more than one vacation rental the answer to our housing problem? Like Representative Gray says, 299-7653. We've got your word, and I want to share something Richard Dreyfuss said when we return to the top of the world. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story, your host for great adventures in all things possible and prosperous, broadcasting live from the corner of West Hill and the Sterling Highway here in Homer, Alaska. Did you see Richard Dreyfuss on Firing Line with Margaret Hoover the other night? I want to get into something else, but first I think it's important to listen to Richard Dreyfuss.
I think we're in the end game right now. I think that we could let slip the greatest idea for governance ever devised, and we won't even know that it happened. We have no muscle memory of it. 50 years is a long time when it comes to how many generations have been without civic education.
It's Richard Dreyfuss on PBS's Firing Line. I don't have to agree with everything Richard Dreyfuss says. I don't have to agree with every political position he takes. And I think the discourse that he is engaged in right now is worthy, irrespective of the fact that he called Donald Trump a pig on Twitter in 2016. Would he call him a disgusting pig, I think is the exact phraseology. Margaret Hoover presented that to him right after Richard had said something about civility, lack of civility. And she said, well, for example. And he said, and I quote, oh, I said that? I thought that was interesting. But irrespective, to his point, teaching civics, teaching about our country and the greatness of this country, it's incumbent upon you and me. It's incumbent upon us to take that up and to not let it go, not let him be right that we are in the end times of the greatness of America. We were told by a president a number of years ago, in your lifetime, by the way, that this wasn't an exceptional place. And I pushed back on it then, and I do to this moment in time. It's an exceptional place because of you. Wherever you're from, those of you who have become an American by choice or you're here still, this is the greatest experiment in governance, to his point, ever. And a lot of friends of mine on the left will point to the Magna Carta, and they'll point to different aspects of history where democracy has been experimented with. But the fundamental foundational rights that you enjoy, that you were born with, no matter where you were born, when you're born in America or when you get here, those are constitutionally protected. And that matters, and that means something. And I'm invested, and I hope you are as well, in preserving that. To that end, let's share something really quickly. The preamble to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed, you. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such a form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. It is up to you, it is up to me, it is up to us to teach our children that the unconstitutionally recommended bill from Anchorage Democratic Senator Representative Andrew Gray is unconstitutional, and here's why. We have a bundle of rights with private property. We have a bundle of rights, and there are some curtailing of said rights. I can't, where I'm sitting right now, fire a weapon. That is a curtailing of my rights to shoot a weapon within the city limits where I live. There are certain things that we've allowed police powers to be given up. There are certain things that we've given up. For example, in Alaska, most of us do not enjoy subsurface rights or mineral rights, gas and oil rights. But the reality is that this is a taking. What this representative, Andrew Gray, is supposing or proposing is that there be a taking from your ability to use your own property to the highest and best use of your desire and design. As such, to affect a greater cause over here, which they're pointing to the collective, which is enough housing for everyone, they'd like to take from your rights of private property ownership. That is a taking that's constitutionally protected by the Fifth Amendment. Nor shall private property be taken without just compensation. So is Representative Gray proposing that a check be written to every private property owner whose use value will be usurped in the form of a governmental effect in this law. Of course he's not. He just wants to curtail. He doesn't know any better. And I forgive him for that. And I just say, oh, okay, he just doesn't understand what he's asking for. And what we need to do, what you and I need to do, is hold him accountable and people like him, and then use it as an opportunity to educate each other, ourselves, and our children, that this is a constitutional taking, should this have passed. Now, our lobbyist in Juneau is saying it's not going to pass. It's dead on arrival. Okay. For today, keep an eye out. By the way, so far, all the text messages are coming in, absolutely not. Do not agree. Boom, boom, boom. So we're going to send, looks like Dave is going to be getting the coins and the dinner. He says, I totally disagree with the idea of limiting anybody's ability to invest in multiple homes. However, I have heard locals complain about the out-of-state people buying up properties and making them short-term rentals, while locals seem to have housing shortage. Great show, Dave. Thank you, Dave. You didn't need to say it, but I appreciate that. But the truth of it is, if there's a shortage of anything. Remember when there was an egg shortage and stores took it upon themselves to limit the supply, limit the number of cartons you could purchase at any one time? I'm okay with that. But I sure as heck don't want the government coming in and saying you're only allowed to buy one carton due to a shortage. So supply and demand and free market, we have to keep the tentacles of government out of the free market as much as possible. As humanly possible, we need to take a Milton Friedman approach and government hands off. We will solve this housing problem. I've been saying this on Blue in the Face with local governments here in my hometown of Homer, when our mayor, who proposed, is it at any moment from his lips will emanate, oh, you know, government housing. No. And he, no, absolutely not. I keep pushing back on it. We do not need more government housing. We need more housing relative to what the government can do is get out of the way. Tax abatements, incentives, there's a lot of things. And so I might even invite Representative Gray onto the program just to talk about that. That'd be something. In other news, the chocolate bar you might be eating right now could contain lead and cadmium. Enjoy. In other news, a kitten was rescued from a sewer pipe at a Home Depot. Firefighters going above and beyond. About the chocolate, though, that's real. Epic Times had a report yesterday on dark chocolate, specifically lead and cadmium. Apparently, cadmium is something that's actually naturally occurring as a result of the way the cacao bean is grown, but then lead is somehow introduced into the processing. I do not believe on purpose, but wow, certainly something's gone wrong. And by the way, chocolate makers have known this for years. And my brother sent me this story and I said, oh, please. And I love to get under his skin. I said, I bet it's not the artisan chocolate we buy. And he said, and you would be wrong. And we watched the little video from Epic Times, and boy, was he right. All of the little artisan chocolate bars we like to buy, Theo, all of them, higher than safe levels of lead and cadmium. Wow. Be careful. I guess it's just a matter of just don't eat. I don't know. What do you do? Oh, I know. Oh, man. I backed myself into a corner. I was going to then talk about local. So, look, we've got lead and cadmium in our chocolate. We've got egg shortages. We've got vegetables coming out of China. We've got rice crackers coming out of China with plastic in them. It's time to take a local look. We talked to Stephen Gist. They've got a local product where you're not affected by the Fannie Freddie rule that's disproportionately affecting high credit scored people to benefit the lower. So if you object to that, buy local. Get a local loan. Find a need and fill it right in your own backyard. It could be crafts. It could be food security. It could be gifts, entertainment, housing. We can stop the race to the bottom, but only you can. Only you and I working together can. So if you want to do something about this chocolate crisis, make your own and ensure that there's no lead introduced into the process and you're buying the kind of cacao that is not testing high or positive for cadmium. already. And then don't introduce lead. You know, there used to be candies coming out of Mexico that introduced lead because it's sweet. That's why children like to chew on lead-based paint, because it's sweet. So that's a thing of the past, but apparently this is today. But the answer is local, and the answer is in your hands. I'm Chris Story, reminding you to look forward in life, learn from your past, and never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present. We'll see you Thursday for the Backyard Millionaire.